Praise the Lord. How many know that we are blessed people? Hallelujah. We've been blessed in the city and blessed in the field. If you don't believe you're blessed tonight, just take a breath. Hallelujah. We come to let you know that the devil don't like it because we're blessed like that. Hallelujah. If you're going through something, just listen to this. Hallelujah. If you're going through something, God is going to bless you. He's going to bring you out on the other side.
Like that.
Living on life. start shouting our name. Because we are blessed. I'm blessed like that. The Lord. Shake your neighbor's hand and tell him, I'm not afraid, because God's on my side. Come on, tell somebody, don't worry about the economy. God owns it all. Don't worry about the weather. God is the weatherman. Don't worry about tomorrow. He's the God of tomorrow. Come on. He got the whole world. Got the whole world. Got the whole world. He got the whole world in his hands. You can just go anywhere with that tune. Praise the Lord. We're going to start again in Psalm 64 in verse 1 and work on this just a little bit longer. Psalm 64 and 1. And everyone say, hear my voice, O God, in my prayer, preserve my life from the fear of the enemy. He's asking God to preserve his life from fear, not from the enemy. God can do that in any number of ways. I know he's able to get rid of your enemy, but we've talked about it at length. Your enemy is inconsequential. Your circumstance really doesn't matter. It's between you and God. Your response is all that matters. If you'll stand, it doesn't matter if it's a Goliath or an Og of Bashan. It doesn't matter if it's an army bigger than you. It doesn't matter if it's a mountain too high. It doesn't matter if it's death and disease. What matters is your response to God. Death can't stop the vision of God in your life. The pit can't stop it. Prison can't stop it. The lies of a Potiphar can't stop it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The promise of God is going to take place in your life if you'll just agree with God. If God can just find somebody that'll agree with him and lay claim to the promise, he's going to bring you through. Somebody say, praise the Lord. God's going to bring you through according to his word. His word never goes forth and falls void. It always accomplishes that which he designed it to accomplish. Praise God. And all you've got to do is agree with God. Fear speaks against your agreement with God, which is your faith. Fear undermines the promise of God in your life. Churchill told a nation that was being bombarded, a tiny island nation that had seen all of Europe swallowed up by Nazi Germany, he said, all we have to fear is fear itself. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Give him thanks for his word, forever settled in the heavens.
Praise God. We thank you, mighty God. We praise you. We worship you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for the privilege of handling your eternal truth in this house. Praise God. God is always giving us reassurance, Old and New Testament. The mantra is there, fear not, I'm with you. Fear not, I've redeemed you. Fear not, when God shows up, he always has to calm the fear of those that he's come to bless before he can actually help them. And life circumstances tend to promote fear in our hearts. Fear comes from the primal beginning of our exodus from the garden. It's living in that same place with our sin and our sin nature. And fear comes up in that third chapter of Genesis. Fear becomes a reality when sin moves forth in the garden. And so when sin brings forth the result of the fall, then fear is a part of that. We were afraid and we were hiding from you. Let me tell you, don't hide from God. Hide in God. Don't run from God. Run to God. Don't be afraid of God. Not in the sense that he's going to harm you, but fear God in terms of respecting him and honoring him and obeying his word. Praise God. We've worked on this Wednesday and also again this morning. And just to get us back up to speed here on it, there is an essential fear, which is the fear of death or non-being. And it is resident in all of us. But once you overcome the fear of death, you've overcome the bondage that hell can place on your life. The writer of Hebrews said they were in bondage all their lives because of fear of death. But once you're clear of that fear, once you stand with those that knew that death didn't really hold any power over them, with Abraham, who stood in the 22nd of Genesis on the mountain with his sons, and he told the servants, he said, I and the lad are going to go yonder and worship God. He knew he was going to take his son's life on that mountain, but he said, we're both coming back to you. And the writer of Hebrews declares in the 11th of Hebrews that Abram believed that God would raise the boy up from the dead because God had made a promise to him. He knew that death couldn't stop the promise of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Job said, if my flesh goes down in the grave and the worms devour my flesh, he said, in this body, I'm going to see the Lord. It is a constant thread through the word of God. These elders, these patriarchs, these apostles, they understood that death was a passage. It was not an ending. It was not a cessation of being. It was just something that we got to walk through because of our fallen sin nature. Well, praise the Lord. But it's not the end of you. It's not the end of me. It's not the end of hope. It's not the end of our experience in God. And somebody needs to get a hold of that tonight and say, you've made me afraid long enough. You've held me in bondage long enough, creeping around like I'm walking on eggshells because I'm afraid of dying. My God, that is not a revelation. Sister Heron thought I had lost my mind. She was laid up in ICU, and I came to her about 2:00 in the morning. And she said, brother, I'm afraid up here. I said, well, Sister Heron, what are you afraid of? There's people everywhere. They're sick, but they're around. Nurses are in here and all. It was kind of cold and dark and quiet in there. Things going beep, beep, beep everywhere. She said, I'm afraid I'm going to die. The devil's telling me I'm going to die. And her wise pastor, full of love and compassion, sat down and said, Sister Heron, you are going to die. And it took her a minute. She lived a long time after that. It took her a minute. Because fear of death puts you in bondage. Liberty from that fear sets you at liberty to walk in faith and to trust God. Don't let him scare you with something that's already been resolved. We're all going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. We knew that coming in. I know you're in denial, but go ahead and get the plot or the casket or what. Make the arrangement. Don't let your kids do that. Oh, it's getting morbid real quick. Don't live in denial. Be ready. My God, don't walk out of here tonight without the Holy Ghost. Get ready. Don't leave out of this place backslidden in your spirit. Get ready. I know he's coming, but we're all going, and you may go before he comes. You need to get ready. And if you're ready, death's not a problem. We're going to pass through the veil. We're going to stand on the other side. We're going to live with him forever. We're going to rule and reign with Christ. Well, praise God. Or that's what the word of God says. The word is our promise. I love Sister Granny so much. She was such a champion all the way through. But when she died, she was miraculous. She was miraculous. Shirley, go get my joke book. She was dying. The doctor said she was getting better. She said, I ain't done it. I'm dying. She said, faith without works is dead, and I ain't working. I mean, she's 95 years old. She had already looked down in the pit and seen the varmint before. They told her 10 years earlier she wouldn't survive the heart surgery she had, but she did. And she's been living for God all this long time, faithful to God, ready to go, and said, I'm going home now. Not a tear, not upset. Brother Cornwell said it was the best funeral he'd ever been to in his life. He wanted the tape. He wanted to remember the funeral. Was it you, Amber, that she said, come go with me? It was Melody. Randy, we don't want you to go. We don't want you to go. She comes up out of that fog. Come go with me. I mean, that's just perfect. That's just classic. That's wonderful. She's not afraid of it. She wants to take her friends with her. Come on over with me. Let's go over and see Jesus. Let's get out of this old husk and see what that new body is going to be like. Let's get out of this darkness and see what that pure light is going to be like. Let's get out of a place where we're not walking with him as closely as we will. My God, don't be afraid of death. Death, fear of death puts you in bondage all your life, and you don't know real freedom in the kingdom of God until you shake free of that bondage. You better watch it, Brother Sutton. You talk like that, you die. He died right there in the pulpit. It was the weirdest thing I ever saw. Got to be afraid of handling all those things. You talk about things like that. You're superstitious. Either we are the children of God or we're not. Either we are the promised of God or we're not. Either we're going to believe this and walk it, or we're going to close this place down and go do something else with our lives. But as for me and my house, we're going to believe God. We're going to walk in the promise of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Next time that comes through your mind or your heart, you've got to get proactive. You've got to get ready to be adversarial to the adversary. Rise up in the middle of that and tell him, don't try to scare me with death. I've already got an appointment with death. But let me give you the rest of the story. I've been redeemed by love divine. I'm going to live forever. Well, praise God. So, we were in... The writer of Hebrews says that we were in bondage all our lives because of fear of death, but we're not in bondage anymore. Anybody been made free by the blood of Jesus Christ? Come on, anybody been made free by the Holy Ghost? Can anybody look across your world and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world? Praise God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 talks about a spirit of bondage to fear. But he said, you hadn't received that, but you've received a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Fear hath torment. Fear paralyzes you. Fear causes you not to function in faith and not to function in the realm of God's promise. And I'm not just beating on you because you have paranoias or you have a little bit of neurosis or something. I'm not beating on you. It's not sin just to feel or taste or smell fear. But it's sin when it causes you to be inactive concerning the word of God. It's sin when it causes you to hold back from responding to the call of God. When God has called you into righteousness, don't be afraid. Step up, walk in it. When God has called you to sacrifice, don't be afraid. Step up and walk in it. Praise God. Fear crushes your faith, holds you in a place where you can't be productive in the kingdom of God. And we've talked about the fact that people walk through same circumstances and some respond one way and some another, and it's all together to do with your mindset or the strongholds that are in your mind, the scary stories you heard as a child or the things that upset you when you were young or what you've passed through during your life. All of that sets up those strongholds, family traditions, but you need to shake yourself free of those things. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord and walk in the faith of God. Now, overcoming fear releases you to walk in faith. Overcoming fear releases you to walk in places that God has called his church, this church particularly, to walk in. And we want to be a part of that. Now, this morning we did an exposition in Psalms 23, and we're going to continue in that vein tonight. Psalms 27 and beginning with verse 1. Now, I just ran through two services pretty quickly there, and don't want to rehearse the whole thing. It's impossible to go back and rehearse the whole thing. But let's look at Psalms 27 and beginning in verse 1. And everybody say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Listen to me. While they were coming out of Egypt and they were going over through the wilderness and on their way to promise, God gave them on that very first night a tower of fire. It was a light that lit the way for them all through the night of their wilderness journeys. But after 40 years, when they crossed over into the promised land, the word of God said the manna dried up and the night light went out. They didn't have that tower of fire anymore. He said, I've been with you. I've walked you through the transition. I delivered you out of Egypt. I brought you out of sin. I've defined you by the word of God at Sinai. I've empowered you by the Holy Ghost. I've walked with you through the wilderness. Now you're walking in promise. I'm turning out the night light. God needs to be the light of your life. When you're walking in a dark place, David said, God is light all around me. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, the Lord is the light of my life. Whom shall I fear? Come on now. We're not afraid of the politics. We're not afraid of those that have power. We're not afraid of those that are in authority. We're not afraid of that that goes bump in the night. We're not afraid because God is our light. And David poses a question. Whom shall I fear? Praise God. Ought to be a worry-free experience. Not worried. Too casual. Whom shall I fear? Everybody say, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? It's not the boss on the job. It's not the company you work for. It's not if things fall right and you've got the right people in place and you've got the right favors in place and you've got it all lined up and you have it in your understanding. It's not about that. The Lord is the strength of my life. God is the blessing in my life. God is the strength of my business. God is the strength of my income. God is the assurance of my tomorrow. Come on. Well, praise God. Of whom shall I be afraid? The world will try to hold you hostage. The enemy will come and try to hold your victory hostage, hold your peace hostage, cause you to tremble in your faith and hold your faith hostage by telling you all that's going to go wrong tomorrow and all the calamities that might befall you and all the things that might happen. We've got a book here that's full of all the things that can go wrong in somebody's life. But I hear the voice of those old timers saying, blessed is the name of the Lord. I came in naked, I'm leaving naked, but blessed is the name of the Lord. Habakkuk said, the field is barren and the flocks are gone. He said, but yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. He's going to cause me to walk with hinds feet in high places. Praise God. You don't know God till you've been through some things. You know him. You've met him. But you don't know him until you've suffered with him. You don't know him till you've sat in a place where you don't have an answer, where you're impotent and you're powerless to help somebody you love who's slipping out of this life. You don't know him until you've walked through these valleys. And in those valleys, the enemy will be saying, where is your God now? And you got to be able to stand and say, he's my light, he's my strength. Shut up with that nonsense. I'm not afraid of this place. This is one of the normal thresholds of life. This is the normal passages of life, and I'm walking with God, and it's going to be all right. You need to learn to sing that song. It's going to be all right. You need to say it all the way down to the grave. It's going to be all right. Praise God. Sister Bonnie, when you had one knee go out and another one's going out on you, you got to be able to sing, it's going to be all right. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I want somebody with a problem in your life say, it's going to be all right. I want somebody with a sick relative to say, it's going to be all right. I want somebody with income that's drying up to say, it's going to be all right. This is not just a vocalization of hope. This is the assuredness of the word of God. He is my light. He is my salvation. He is the strength of my life. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Praise God. You know they can't touch you. Not unless God says yes. And if he says yes, it'll be for your good. It'll get you somewhere where God wants you to go. Somebody say praise the Lord. Though an host should encamp against me. Everybody say, though an host should encamp against me. My heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's what I'm seeking. That's what I'm seeking. I'm not looking for another bank account. I'm not looking for another holding in this world. I'm not looking for a greater stake in natural things. I've got one thing on my mind. I want to be a part of the kingdom of God. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's the fundamental dynamics of the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Do you believe it's going to be all right? Shake somebody's hand and say, it's going to be all right. Say, God's got it in control. Come on now. Come on now. God's got it all in control. Praise God. I can make a promise to you. Patience, I can make a promise to you. Patience is... through the history of the church, there's always been kids like Patience in church. One of them lives right up Interstate 59. And she's married to old Stan Davidson. They've been pastoring up there for about 25 years in Gadsden. She's one of the finest, sweetest ladies, most powerful apostolic ladies you'll ever meet in your life. But she came to church all by herself. No family support. No nuclear family in the church. The church became her family. She's all dressed up and ready to go to church one night and sitting at the table and all fixed up and everything. And her old dad came in and poured a beer all over her head and said, go on to church now. Go to church like that. My God, what a bricks for brains kind of guy. She didn't get any support from home. And so here you are, little orphan Annie, in the house of God. But David said, when my father and my mother leave me, the Lord will take me up. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. And I'm not speaking against anybody associated with her or living that is relative or kin to her. I'm just saying that you can do this on your own. You can do this in the house of God. There's a promise in the word of God. This is not just a good feeling, or this is not just some hope in my heart, but this is a promise in the word of God. You can do this. And there have been others that have come before you. There's a trail that's already been blazed for you. You can do this. God's got a promise for you. It doesn't matter about the disadvantages. It doesn't matter about who you don't have or what you don't have. You need to hear me tonight. I didn't have a daddy in my life. It doesn't matter. You can live for God. I didn't have a mama in my life. It doesn't matter. You can live for God. I wasn't privileged to be raised in the church. It doesn't matter. You can live for God. I don't have natural blessings in my life. It doesn't matter. God is the light of my life. God is the strength of my life. He said, in this will I be confident. I've got a desire in my heart to walk in God. He didn't say, in this will I be confident. God has me covered. That is a given. Doesn't even have to be spoken. He said, in this will I be confident. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I've made up my mind. I'm going to be a servant of the Most High God. And that ice is the deal that fixes my place in the hand of God. It fixes my destiny. Somebody say praise the Lord. If you love him, let's clap our hands and lift up a voice of praise. Praise God. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Brother, Sis Hagedorn, he'll come to you and he'll tell you that child's never coming back. That baby's never coming back to the house of God. But he's a liar. If he's talking to you tonight, he's lying. He's lying. He's lying. God can touch her. God can bring her back. God can cause her to serve him again in the house. He knows how. She belongs to him. She's not some Moabite. She's not some Canaanite. She belongs to him. His name is already on her. He won't give up easy. I'm not treating it casually. It's like when I'm talking to Brother Jimmy. I'm talking to the Romans here. This is hallowed ground. This is sacred ground. You do wise not to touch ground like that when you're dealing with somebody else's heartache or somebody else's tragedy. But I've got to tell you. I've got to tell you, you tell that enemy, shut his mouth. You tell him what God has said. God is a restorer. God is a restorer. She belongs to God. You just stand up in the middle of it. This church needs to stand up in the middle of your prayer bones and pray for this family and pray for those wayward children, because I believe they can make their way back. How many of you lost your way, but God brought you back? How many of you stumbled outside the lines, but God brought you back? How many of you didn't have it together, but God brought you back? I believe that God can bring them back. I believe it. Praise God. The Lord is my light. The Lord is the strength of my life. I'm confident in this. I only have one desire. He said, this is where my confidence lies. I'm not divided. I only have one desire. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He said, this is where my confidence is. I'm focused. I'm focused. I'm living for God. Nothing's going to get in my way. Inherent in that phrase is the fact that he's saying it's going to be all right, because I've made up my mind. Whether God is able is not even discussed. That's a given. Whether God can keep me is not even a matter of discussion. That's a given. He's just saying, I'm going to do my part. I've got one desire. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He said, I want to live there to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. Everybody say, for in time of trouble. Now, trouble's going to come. I can't believe we're in a place tonight and there's people here that have never been through trouble. Trouble's going to come, and it's going to come again. And then when you come up for air, it's going to hit you again. Because the scripture just says life is short and full of trouble. That's the summary of life. But he says, in the time of trouble, would you say, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock. And now, I want you to get a hold of this in the context of what you're walking through right now. Say, now, my enemy, no, I'm sorry, now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Let's do that again in the context of where you're walking right now. I want you to talk to your situation right now. Now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. My God, there's a promise in the Word of God. You're not going down. You're not going to go under. You're not going to be defeated. You're not going to be destroyed. You're going to take some bumps. You're going to take some bruises. But right now, my head's going to be lifted up. God deals with us by authority. And he's going to lift up your head in a place of authority over your enemies. Praise God. He said, I'll offer up sacrifices in the tabernacle, sacrifices of joy. I'll sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Praise God. Verse 13, Brother Dustin. Everybody say, I would have fainted. All of this is real bold talk. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my strength. The Lord, he said, I've got it together. God's going to say, but he said, I would have fainted. But here's my secret. I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. For all of my testimonies and all of my boldness, and you need to be bold and you need to say it for the devil to hear it and everybody around you to hear it. But when David got off by himself, he said, said, man, I was about gone. I was about finished. But he said, I had this belief. I was going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Praise God. Do you believe you're going to see the goodness of God? I know you're going to see it over on the other side. But is there anybody with faith enough to say, but God's going to do something good for me right here. God's going to do something good for me right here. God's going to break loose in my life right here. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. How are the hands, Brother Randy? That's incredible. Do y'all know about that? How many of you don't know about that? Brother Randy does hair. And he's been struggling for a long time with rheumatoid arthritis. His hands were swelling. He didn't have the dexterity that he needed. And people at work knew about it. But in the middle of a revival service, I can't remember who was preaching, Brother Godwin. He's sitting right back there. And prayer's going forth. And by the, he feels something happening to him. And here I am trying to tell your testimony for you. But by the time he got out to his car and grabbed the steering wheel, something was different. Something was changed. When he got to work, let the man tell his own story.
Don't know if I can or not. But for about 7 years, I'd had arthritis. And the doctor said that there's really nothing they could do but other than give me these some kind of shots or something, you know, that's like $1,500. So, you know, I just, when I was up there praying and stuff, well, I just felt like something, you know, just was like going through my body. I never experienced anything like that, you know, before. I've, you know, been in this all my life and, you know, and just shouting and stuff like that. Well, first time I'd ever done anything like that. But then I noticed, you know, my knees weren't hurting, you know, or anything when I got out to my car, you know, driving and stuff, putting the key in the ignition, you know, this finger right here had these knots on it. My middle finger did too. And I noticed when I put the key in the ignition, it didn't, you know, and turned it, it didn't even bother me. I thought, well, that's kind of strange too. Well, what really got me was the next morning I got up, and normally I have to get up like 15 minutes early, you know, to get dressed and stuff, to stand up, to even move out of the bed. And then sounds like Rice Krispies, you know, snap, crackle, and pop. And I got up and I put my feet down. I thought, okay, you know, got up and I was fine. Nothing hurt. And I just thought, man, this is just incredible. Got to work and, you know, I was working and stuff and, you know, it didn't even bother me. Normally I'd drop my shears or whatever and, you know, never didn't do any of that stuff, you know. And I was like, well, no, this is something else. Went down and talked to Dawson down there and I was like, you're not going to believe this. But I said, I can move my fingers. I had a big knot on this finger that was probably about the size of a pea. And the knots went away and everything. And it hasn't bothered me at all since, you know, since the whole time. Praise God.
It's just a little commercial for God. There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing that God can't do. Do you really believe that? Do you believe there's just, I want you right now to stand and lift something up before God and say, God, I know that you can. I know that you can. I lift it up before you, God. I want you to move on it in Jesus' name. I want you to touch my child. I want you to move in my body. I want you to bless my house. I want you to touch my finances. God, I know that you're able. Have you heard Brother Randy's testimony? It wasn't when he was asking for it. It was just when he was worshiping God. I want you to worship God for what you've asked for right now. Just like it just came down on you. Just like it just touched you. Just like you just got it in the mail. Just like it just walked in the door. Just like you... Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Tell somebody by you, I expect to see the goodness of God. Come on, push somebody. I expect to see the goodness of God. I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on the way. My God, my God, my God, help me. Holy Ghost, somebody let the Holy Ghost, let the Holy Ghost move. Let the Holy Ghost move. We got people that need healing in this house right now. We've got Katie in the hospital, needs a touch from God right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I expect to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I expect to see backsliders. I expect to see restoration. I expect to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. My expectations determine whether I walk in faith or whether I walk in fear. My expectations determine whether I walk in faith or I walk in fear. I expect God to be on my side. I expect God to show up on time. I expect God to turn aside the armies of the aliens. I expect God to shut the lion's mouth. I expect God that the fire won't burn me and the flood won't kill me. I expect God. What are your expectations? I expect people to let me down. I expect to be disappointed. I expect to get hurt in relationships. I expect to get rejected. Your expectations cause you to walk in fear. You need to open your mouth. Life and don't you know life and death are in the power of your tongue? I expect God to do something good. I came to the house of God expecting God to do something good. Are you down here to receive something?
Yes.
If you came to receive something, lift up your hand. I want one person to come to each of these. And when you get to them, I want them to tell you, I expect God to do something good in my life. Get around front of them. Let them see who's praying for them. I expect to receive the Holy Ghost. I expect God to wash my sins away. I expect the strong rock, Christ Jesus, to be my shelter in a time of storm. I expect healing. I expect deliverance. Hear the footfalls of backsliders coming in this door right now.
We're gonna be alone.
to be praised. God is a great God. Able, able, able God. Healer, restorer, deliverer, way maker. Bigger than my trouble, bigger than my mountain, bigger than my enemy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hear me now. All right, we're not quite done yet. Hear this. In this 64th chapter that we're working on, David said, my enemy's been talking. But that word of God said that enemy's tongue is going to fall on him. I never heard anything like it in all my life. David said, my enemy's tongue is going to crush him. I got a word in the house for somebody tonight. That enemy that's been talking to you, his own tongue is going to come down upon him. Let me tell you what God's going to do. God's going to turn the enemy's own weapon against him. God's going to turn the enemy's own weapon. If Haman is building a gallows for you and your family, God's going to hang Haman on his own gallows. Do you get it? Do you get it? Stay with Joseph. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Say, they meant to hurt me, but God turned it into a blessing. Say, they meant to stop me, but God kept me going on. Do you get it? Do you get it? Don't be afraid of what man can do. Don't be afraid of what the enemy can do. God will lay hold of it and turn it around. Right? I feel it happening right now in this house. God's got his hand on your life. God's turning that thing around. Praise God. Praise God.